Well, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for the time, the days, and the years that we're in, the area. We praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father. This thing is fixing to just take off, and we just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Lord, make sure I'm asking you to help us determine if we're ready to take communion tonight, and I praise you for that, Lord. That we've all repented of anything that may have hindered us, and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight with brothers and sisters in Christ here with us, Lord, and those that are just coming to visit for the one time, and that's okay. We love it, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight, Lord. Let it be a blessing to everybody. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? I do. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for the work that Tim Tebow's doing and the work that Tim Ballard's doing and the White Hats and all the people that are exposing these child traffickers. And we praise you for that, Father, that you open up everything about these people and that you expose them for what they are and who they are and help us to save those children, Lord. And we praise and thank you for that, Lord, that everybody that sees a child that's being controlled, and we thank you, Father, that they're going to turn them in. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. For getting all these children out of from in these tunnels and these trafficking things that they do for and these horrible things that they do to these kids, Lord, and we thank you for setting them free in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of Satan off of these people, and I command you to turn those children loose right now in Jesus' name. We loose those children from these child sex traffickers. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Teresa.
That's exactly what was on my mind as well. And
Okay.
what you just prayed for the children was exactly what was on my mind.
Okay.
I was about to pray for that. I just didn't know if you wanted to pray for that, on the Zoom. And so that's on my heart too. And so I just pray that Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who are the creator and owners of heaven and earth, that he set, like you said, he sets these children, all the children free. He saves the children. He protects the children. He guards the children. He puts hedges of protection around the children. And then once they're saved and protected, they have care, that they're able to survive
Amen.
supernaturally with God's supernatural power in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for raking all that stuff that they've had in their brain out of them. That they would be normal again in Jesus' name. We send the angels out there right now to expose them and get those kids out of those tunnels, get them out of those houses, get them out of those places of ill repute, and bring them out into the open where people can take care of them in Jesus' name. All right, Missy.
One thing that was shocking that Tim Tebow shared was that many of these children are being molested, sex trafficked, or pornography concerning them, and it's their fathers. It's big time. And what came to me is it's a generational curse. It's in the blood. It's demonic. It's passed from one to the other. So, Lord, I know that some of these have to be, your elect, Lord, and you're going to set them free. So I just break the power of this generational curse on your elect, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And that, off the fathers, the parents, whoever's involved with this family, because lots of times it's maybe not just the father, but it's family members that are doing this too. And I just break this generational curse, grant repentance, Lord, and that these children also will not go on to do what was done to them in the name of Jesus. And I just
Amen.
praise you and I thank you, Lord, for setting the captives free of your elect, Lord, from this curse, Lord, bringing repentance and salvation to them. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen. That Lord, that I pray, Lord, that your elect would be repentant, and that if it's not necessary, that they would repent before they're even caught, and they put the fear of God in them, that they wouldn't have to suffer any consequences, Lord, but that they would just be totally delivered mentally and physically and everything, and children healed and mentally and physically and in every way, Lord, and delivered. The parents and the children or any family members, Lord, that are involved in doing this kind of thing, Lord. And bring people their way, Lord, to preach the gospel to them, Lord. Bring people their way, Lord, that can speak to them the love of Christ and love of God the Father, and that they would know that they are loved, and that they don't have to be living like this in this sin, Lord, and that you came to set the captives free. And thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus, for doing this for
Amen.
these ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing this all over the world, because it's not just here in the States, it's all over the world. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
So, yes, I'd just like to continue. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for opening up the eyes of the public and revealing these things. And Lord, we'd ask that you would grant the Justice Department and the investigators the grace to follow the chain all the way up to the motivators and the money makers and even the corridors of Congress and the higher ups, for Lord, we know that these are all motivated by higher powers, and we just ask that you would clarify that you would not allow the litigators and the lawyers and the justice system and this whole justice team to just to be satisfied with finding a couple of a few of the lower hanging fruit, so to speak, but you would take it all the way up the tree to the top. And we thank you for that, Lord. We bind that spirit of resistance that tries to cover up these deeds, even at the highest level, even in the courts, even in the Supreme Court, Lord. We would command these spirits that are resisting in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind you. We command that whatever is hidden be revealed and exposed in Congress. Whatever is hidden be exposed. In Jesus' name, we command these things to be open, revealed, and exposed to the public, and let the shame turn hearts toward you, Lord. Let the shame turn their hearts. And we just praise you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, your grace, that even bringing these people to justice and either throwing them in jail or whatever that needs to happen is necessary, not only to put fear in the hearts of all of those around, but also to bring them to repentance, to bring them into the kingdom. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that you are exposing and taking down the strongholds in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray for Congress on this last bill, this tax bill that Trump had that eliminate taxes on overtime and a couple of other things. Good bill, good bill. And all the Democrats voted no on it, and one Republican voted no. So, Lord, I just ask that there would be a backlash upon this, that the people would be incensed at these politicians that are playing politics with the people's money. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for exposing these people for who they are. They're just factious. And they, Lord, I thank you for exposing them big time, bringing them out in the open and asking, why didn't you back it? And Lord, we thank you and praise you that it will be exposed and the people will be in an uprise over all of them and the way that they're trying to politicize the government. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Pat. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Father, we also we support President Trump in his signing of this bill to release and to normalize the drugs and the pharmaceuticals in this country. Not, Lord, that not that we are in support of the drugs, but that they take down and expose those that are using that system to pervert justice, to bribe officials in various places in Congress and all over the country. Lord, we trust that this system is coming down, that healing will be revealed of the power and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, and that will be the common first desire for people's hearts, that they are going to look to you for their health and their needs and their healing, Lord. But in the interim, Lord, we ask that these pharmaceuticals that the people are using now and trusting now, that they come down, and that this system is exposed, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord, that it is a system of this earthly jurisdiction. And we know, Lord, that you've given us seated us in heavenly places in Christ in a higher jurisdiction. And so we come to you, Lord, and ask for to bring forth a revival of people looking toward you and toward the healing that you provide. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I noticed the other day that there was a figure out on the people that had died from the COVID vaccine, and it was somewhere around 17 million. I think that's a drop in the bucket. Lord, we just ask and we pray that RFK would expose the drug companies for what they are. They're killing machines. And we praise you and we thank you for doing that, Lord, that you shut them down. Since Rockefeller and Rothschild came in on the medical end of our business, they haven't done anything but bring death and destruction to the medical field. Where at some points in time, We had autism down to one in thousands would be an autism. Now they're one in, I don't know, very small number, like one in 8 or 10 or something like that. But it's what is it, Missy? Oh, I thought you were fixing this.
I thought I heard it was at I don't know if for some reason I think I heard it was 1 in 30. I don't think it's 1 in 10.
Yeah,
I may be wrong.
could be. It could be. But it used to be 1 in 10,000 or 20,000 or something like that, that it was very rare that anybody, any kid had autism. And
Yeah.
it's because of these vaccines, is what they're saying. Just in the last 30 years, 30 or 40 years. Okay, anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Teresa.
Before I knew better, my first son, I went when he was born, I took him to the, doctor to get his usual childhood shots. But of course, this was like about 50 years ago. And so, he did have a little bit of trouble. But the thing is, God can heal. God can restore their brains. God can restore our brains. And there's food things, herbal things, that supplemental things that people can do. But the blood of Jesus, because he turned out okay. The bioweapons are giving our children autism, but God can still heal.
Oh,
With
yeah, there's no doubt about that. This group here understands that, but it's the people out there that don't understand that we have to also help out too, you know. They all rely on, I did when I was, had all my kids coming up. We trusted the medical profession. It wasn't as egregious as it is now. So, yeah, I agree. Thank you, Lord. Did you have anything you want to pray about, Teresa? Just you got it, didn't you? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Somebody got a song. Let me get somebody some. Let me get you the deal here. All right, go ahead. Lord, that's a good song. Okay. All right, has anybody got anything else before we get started with the communion teaching? All right. Mine's going to be a little bit short, but it'll be in depth enough to know. Understand what communion is. The good news, faith is the gospel. All you have to do is believe. Now, what must we do the works that are of God? Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 29, believe on him who he has sent. And we need to believe that Jesus Christ is our gift from God to walk in righteousness. You can partake of the soul of Jesus Christ. You have already partaken of the soul of your parents, and that's why you do many of the things that we don't like to see in our parents. You probably said, well, I'll never do that. I've done it when mom and dad did it, but I went ahead and did it anyway. You know why? It's because their blood was passed on to us. Their soul, their nature was passed on to us. And we might have even gotten some of the blood of our grandparents in us too. And if we look back in our lineage and find somebody that's got the same fault that we've got, that's because that blood and that sin been passed on to the children, all the way to the third and the fourth generation. Well, what's going to break this genetic curse that was passed on? The blood of Jesus. And we need a transfusion. And praise God, that's exactly what God gave to us. He gave to us a new father and a new mother, the glorified church. He's given to us this new nature and it's passed on to us. Now, if you're in a corrupt, fallen church that's full of sinners, I'm talking to people out there that are listening, and if they don't want to throw them out, get out of it. It's not the church. The church is the called out ones. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Glory to God. So if you're in a corrupt church that's backsliding and doesn't teach the truth and got a lot of moralizing sermons, but they don't know how to tell you to get there through the gospel, we're going to tell you how to get there today. And this is how you get there. You accept the body and blood of Christ by faith. When you drink that wine, then you are partaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood has no sin in it. You're partaking of the holy blood, which is in Leviticus 17 and 11, says this. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of Jesus's flesh is in the blood. He was holy. He was sanctified. And when you partake of his body, just remember, his body doesn't have any sickness, right? He ain't got no sickness. We don't have to have it either. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and 17, as he is, even so are we in this world. That's something we need to think on, and that's something we need to meditate on. Because as he is, so are we. You see, we're commanded to pray for everything that we want. And Jesus said, when you do that, believe you have received all things, whatsoever you pray and ask for, because you did at the cross when we came to salvation. Believe you have received them? No, you quit that. In the name of Jesus, I have a good internet connection. I believe that we have received them and we shall have them. Because that's the word of the Lord. And so that's why we look into the mirror and we see Jesus. We've asked for Jesus. We want his life. And he gave it to us. And when we do communion, this is an act of faith whereby we're renewing our mind. And we're reminding ourselves that today. That I am receiving the body and the blood of Christ, the very soul and body. And the Word of God, by the way, because he was the Word made flesh, wasn't he? The Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God. They ate all of the Lamb of God, all of his flesh, and the Lamb of God is Jesus. He was the Word made flesh. And so if you eat the Word, which is the bread at the Lord's Supper, you're taking a New Testament Passover, glory to God. A New Testament Passover. There might be some people out there that say, well, I need to go back and eat the lamb. Well, go ahead and go back under the law. But I got to tell you, the law is just a type and a shadow of the New Testament. It ain't the shadow that we want. It's the light, glory to God. So come out from under that law and into the light, praise be to God. God's just got so much good stuff for us out there. And we just need to believe. That's all he wants us to do. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." Now, why not believe him? Is it physically? No. But when we believe we are receiving his body and his blood right there, that's what we're receiving by the supernatural act of God. God got the power, and he wants us to have the faith. Our part in the covenant is faith. His part in the covenant is power. And when we believe, we receive simply on the grounds that he said it. And then we get it. And that getting it comes from his power and his works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says in Philippians 2 and 13. How many of you would like to have God's will? Would you like to have God's ability to do or his works to will and to work? Yeah. And some translations say he works in us to will and to work of his good pleasure. Well, I want to be well pleasing to God, and I know all of you do. Well, I can tell you the way to get there is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's the power of God to save him who believes it. And now we can look in the mirror and we can see our old filthy self, but you know what you're going to have tomorrow? You're going to have the same thing. You're going to have that old filthy self to look at. But if you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and you accept his life by faith and you have repented of your life. And if you don't want it, but you don't know how to get there, well, then the next part is to believe. Just repent and believe. Jesus said that over and over. And that was what was preached all through the Gospels, all through the Scriptures. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Not accept. It don't say that. And that's a foolish church trying to fill up the pews with tithers. And that's all that is. They do a pretty good job with it. But what they've got is a church full of leaven. And they can't have any communion. That's communion with God. They got too many willful sinners in there. So we need to repent and believe. Repent. You don't want that old life. We don't want it. Believe that Jesus gave you that new life. And if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. And that's what Jesus said. And he's talking the same thing about our soul. And if you don't lose your old soul, you're not going to gain your new soul. We all want the soul of Christ, which is his mind, his will, and his emotions. And that's what it is, his mind, his will, and his emotions. We have the mind of Christ. You know, Paul said it's by faith we receive it. By faith we have the mind of Christ. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, you can't neglect your Christian duty to read the scriptures because the Lord brings to remembrance all things that he said unto us, John 14, 26. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring those things to remembrance that he said to us. So when you read the things that he said to us, you're putting it in there. You're putting it in your file back there. And what he says is, he'll bring it to your remembrance, but you got to put it in there to bring it to your remembrance, right? So we can't neglect our Christian duty of studying the word and putting the word in our heart. You remember the parable of the sower, don't you? In the parable of the sower went out to sow the seed, and the seed was the word of God, and it went into the hearts. And it brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and a hundredfold in those that were good ground. The other three parts of the people that fell away, they heard it, but they didn't devour it. They didn't meditate on it. They didn't make it a part of their life. When you eat something, it goes into you and it becomes what your cells are. You are what you eat, right? So if you assimilate the Word of God, the one who lives in you is Jesus Christ. He's the Word made flesh. Okay, let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that all the brethren out there, even in their homes out there that are listening on the tape, that they decide to have communion and they're going to be clean, that they will want to be clean, want to be cleansed and accept your cleansing power by faith in the blood and the body of Christ. And so, Father, we ask you to give wisdom. And we ask, Lord, that you grant grace to the brethren and wisdom to the brethren so that they can receive this wonderful good news, this wonderful gospel that you have offered to them. And that's the very life of Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren, and he is the son among sons. We come into his image, we come into his sonship, glory to God. And we don't have to be a child all of our lives anymore. Because we got the word to grow up on. We got the word to feed on and to bring forth that Jesus Christ in all of us. We have that word and we can grow up in him, glory to God. And we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, well, let's get ready to partake of this. Is David on here? He's not on here yet, is he? Let me get him on. All right. Anybody got any questions? Any comments? Everybody ready? Is anybody going to answer me? Thank you, Pat.
Yes. Ready.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Ready.
All right, Barbara. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and get this started now, right now. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, and we got our bread ready. And the Lord said, when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now we can partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I thought I saw David. Oh, there he is. Okay, he was hiding. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Then verse 25. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So let's partake. We receive you, Lord. Glory be to God that your blood is our blood now. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God that your will, your emotion, everything about you is with us too, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. When we look in the mirror, we see nothing but you. And we think about you all day long and praise you, Father. Glory be to God for this wonderful time that we're in Jesus' name. Okay, glory be to God. Woo, man, I feel like jumping up and down. Praise God. Anybody got any comments? Anybody get healed? You know, when you take communion, that's a good time to be believing for healing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Glory be to God. I'm healed. Praise God. I believe it. I thank you for it, Father. You said your son walked in divine health. Well, I'm your son. Bless God. I am walking in divine health. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Woo, Lord
I'm
of
healed
God.
too, Michael.
Amen, brother. Amen. We're all healed. Those who receive it are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to comment on or share? Anybody get a word from the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was when I was preparing for this, I actually have been preparing for a few weeks related to this. I asked the Lord about, about communion, the significance. I know that we do it kind of as a, I mean, it's a ceremony. It's a ceremony of faith. Obviously one of the few, or maybe the only ceremony or tradition that Jesus started. I may be wrong, I don't remember. But so I got to kind of digging in a little bit more, just for my own personal benefit. And I started in John 6 when he's talking about well, I'll just read it in John 6:53. He was talking to many disciples, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." And upon reading that or speaking that, it says down further that, he offended many disciples, etc. They could not take that word, and they left him and followed no more. I think, isn't that in 66? Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. And as I got to digging into that a little bit, the Lord took me back to, I think you reiterated one of the verses there, in if you start at the beginning, God's word said in Genesis 9:4, but the flesh of the life of the flesh with the life thereof is the blood thereof you shall not eat. And that was God's word to Noah after after the flood, and they started consuming animals or flesh, I guess you might say. And then after Moses came and the law was given, he said in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of the life. In 14, for as the life of the flesh is the blood, therefore is with the life thereof, or down farther in the verses says, for the life of all flesh is the blood. So without going any further into the reading or whatever, the Jews of that of were well versed and well understood that this was, number one, this was commanded against by God, consuming the blood with the flesh. And my personal thought is that he said that because there is a life, the blood is the life of that flesh, and there's an inherent power connected to the two. And so he obviously commanded against it. And so therefore in John, when Jesus came out and said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, it was something that God was going absolute contrary to God's teaching up to that point. However, as I get thinking about it, is that this inherent power and connection between the blood and the flesh that is there, the only flesh and blood which we are allowed and desired to consume is that is of Jesus, the Son of God, the only righteous, life, the only righteous life. And so that was, was the conflict and the transition. So I haven't really put it all together in my mind, but this is kind of what the Lord was showing me related to the specifics of that and why the change, what it helped me a little bit to understand the magnitude of what we are doing when we're consuming that blood and consuming that flesh of the Lord and taking it in ourselves and receiving it, because there is power in the blood. There is power in that blood, and there is, power in the flesh of Jesus that, and the connection with healing, and by his stripes we were healed in that broken body. So I don't know. I just thought I would toss that out there. It just seemed to me it kind of helped fill up some of the gaps in my understanding there. So.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, also in that chapter, it says that in John 6:48. Jesus is saying in 47, "Verily I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am that bread. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And then on into verse 63, Jesus said, well, I guess we'll start with 61. "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?'" Spirit. "It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words," Jesus is the word of God. "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are spirit, and they are life." So, it's not the physical blood Jesus is talking about, except he used his physical blood to atone for mankind's departure from God, sinning from God, rebellion against God, and redeeming mankind back to himself. But it's not his blood per se that we're supposed to be consuming. It's this it's the, it's consuming the word of God and the spirit of God and the blood atonement that he gave in our behalf to purchase us back to himself.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? David, you got something you want to say?
Well, I think Pat was right on. The difference is that we're not to partake of the blood of a beast. And of course, Solomon said every man is as a beast. He's talking about mankind, We don't want to partake of the life blood of the nature of men or animals or any kind of beast, but only the spotless, blemishless lamb. His life we partake of. And I think, a lot of people don't realize that it's not just communion that you do that in. It's every day. If you're fellowshipping, which means giving and taking with lost people, you tend to take on some of their nature, and we're not really supposed to be receiving so much as giving. We have the life of Christ to give, but fellowship is giving and receiving, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. So we're not to be partaking of people. We can hear people talk, but it doesn't necessarily go into our soul because we know that that's just the way mankind is. We don't have to judge them. I mean, obviously, until they receive light and it through grace, they will. We'll trust God to do that. But meantime, of course, we're not supposed to be partaking of their life and nature. And well, the spotless, blemishless lamb, we're to partake of him. And I think that's what we need to do mostly is put the word of God in our heart,
Yes. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to share or ask? Yeah, Andrew.
I was reading today from Philippians chapter 1, and there the Apostle Paul is being a witness without actually saying any words. He's in prison. And through that witness, it emboldened the other people to go and proclaim Christ more also in a bold state, because that's what Paul was doing, even to the Praetorian Guard, the guard that would guard Caesar. Some of them were even saved. So he had a witness there that was according to the word. And this word is also a witness of spirit, of water, and of blood. And we all know that in the Timothy's it says the scripture is God breathed, so the water is there. And it's in a spirit form, though, this water. And it witnesses from us because of our behavior, because of our behavior that is of the fruits of the spirit and the blessings, and that the gifts also follow. So when you witness, it's not necessarily just a physical word, it's a behavior. If many witnesses have been martyred, they had the proper behavior. It didn't depend on education. The two ladies that I like to refer to are Felicitas and Perpetua. Perpetua was an educated woman. She could read and write both Latin and Greek, but her friend was a slave girl, both of them mothers, and she had the same witness within her, because their crime was Christianity, and both of them had to go into the Colosseum. So a witness, I kind of call it like a silent witness. It's what you're doing. Something will come upon you, and you're supposed to witness. Not you, but Christ in you. When you're faced with something, that witness happens. And that's what we want to do all the time. That's what we want happening through us. We want the activeness of God's word in us. Living is the word of God and active. Well, where? Well, it's supposed to be active in us. It's supposed to shine through us, manifest. From the simplest of things to sometimes the very hard things too. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first I was thinking about back to what David was saying about fellowshipping. And I was thinking about that scripture that says, do not befriend an angry man, so that you will not become like him. And whoever we befriend, we start to basically take on that same spirit that they have. And that's why, you know, Jesus, speaking of witness, he came in the witness of his Father. And that witness of God's mercy and grace and his goodness and kindness and, you know, even the severity, it really had a huge impact, you know, and it works, you know, kind of joining these two things that Andrew said and David said, and I guess off of what Pat said too, like the fellowship and the witness, the fellowship, Paul said, you know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And he also mentioned the fellowship of his suffering. And this was a huge witness, you know, this Christ working in us. And that witness that people are seeing is the fruit. It's that fruit of Christ, that fruit of the Spirit that's coming forth in the midst of whether it's adversity and temptation and trials and tribulations or whatever. Christ is the one who's being shown. And, you know, that power of the Spirit working through us is able to minister that to others, you know, whether it's in our words or in our deeds, you know, it's all under God, but it's, you know, it's also a redemptive work. You know, all that Jesus did was redemptive, and therefore we being his body, all that we do, we have to look at it, is our witness a redemptive witness? Like David has talked a few times recently about reconciliation. Is it the ministry of reconciliation, which is like God is through us and treating everybody to be reconciled to him when they hear the word, when they see the work? It is, you know, as though God is working through us, because he is. That is him working through us, you know, like Jesus said, you know, it is not you that speak, but your Father, you know. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
Hello.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share just I guess maybe like a felt impressed, maybe
Okay.
some thoughts the Lord gave me, but just that, those disciples that, they walked with him no more. And like the idea that yes, you're receiving all the blessings of Christ in you, the hope of glory, but also all the responsibility. Everything that that entails, the suffering and the losing your life and not having a will, not having a say. And I think I just maybe felt impressed that that's part of the reason why maybe some people understood the spiritual meaning, but maybe that was too much for them, and that's why they walked away.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? All right. What y'all want to talk about? Let's talk about Jesus. What's been on your mind, Julie? Yeah.
Are you putting me on the spot, Michael?
I wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I guess I've been getting a lot of verses lately about the crucifixion and where the Lord's having me reading right now, and just how the disciples, every time he told them that he was going to be delivered up to the scribes, the Pharisees, and then he would be delivered up from them to the Gentiles for his scourging and the mocking and the crucifixion and stuff, that they didn't understand that. And then even like that scripture in Matthew, which is where I was reading today's, how even like James and John, he was telling them to be about the children being humble and entering into the kingdom of heaven. And his mother, their mother came up to them and asked if they would be able to sit. Would you, allow my sons, two sons, to sit one on your right, one on your left? And and that was about, you don't know what you're saying. It's not for me to give that, but you don't know what you're asking, about being able to drink of the cup, and that they would. And it's just the whole thing about being able to humble yourself to be able to endure the trials and the crucifixion, the persecutions and stuff, because they didn't understand it, that their minds were closed to it, I'm sure, a lot of these things, but they were still just very, this is right before the crucifixion, so they've been walking with them for 3 years or so, and they still didn't, quite get a lot of things, and they were still young in their understanding about stuff, or just that their minds hadn't been open to it yet. But just being able to go through it and endure to the end. And I guess that's where we're at, in a lot of ways, the man child bride going through their trials and persecutions and the suffering and that kind of thing. And it is a humbling thing, because you can't do it in your own strength. You have to rely on the strength of the Lord to go through all that. And so that's kind of where I've been at in my reading. It was just that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Benjamin, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing good.
All right. What's been on?
It's been
What's been
all my
tuning in?
well, I did a little review of communion before I went on today, and I just went through all the times it was mentioned in the Gospels. I went through John chapter 6 and thinking about, the life is in the blood and the word is the bread, and and so, but there's the living word. We see the word on the paper and we understand that we need to spiritualize it. But then there's the living word of God that lives in us. And it's kind of hard to wrap my head around that, I'll confess, to have this word living and that we partake of it. And then I thought of that verse in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For living is the word of God, and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And what caught my eye today was of both joints and marrow. And I think we talked about this before, about, what's the joints and marrow? And I forgot our conclusion of that conversation. I kind of went at it with the knowledge that I have, and I'm a little unlearned in it, and but from what I know from biology is that the marrow is the building of the bone. It keeps it healthy, makes it grow strong, and it helps with your immune system, and it helps it grow back when it gets broken. And so with the bone structure, a bone could look fine, but the marrow could be infected or not good. So maybe I'm looking too much a little, or looking not properly at it. But if you got bad marrow, the bone's not going to heal properly, or it's not going to support the body properly. It's not going to build the bone properly. And our bone, our skeleton, is like the inner man that's within us. So if the marrow or the spirit of the word is not right, the living word is not right within us, then our inner man is not right within us. I don't know. That's just something that I'm thinking about. Like what word spirit am I taking in? Am I taking in that unleavened bread? Am I partaking of that life? It's a lot of things that I think about because I'm at work all day, and I'll confess, I forget who I am sometimes when I'm at work and I'm busy and I'm doing things and I'm talking to unsaved people, and I gotta focus. I gotta really press in to not just knowing that I'm saved, but I'm in the presence of the God with me all the time. And I'm reading, I forget, Brother Lawrence's book, Practicing the Presence of God. And in one of his sort of statements, I'm probably gonna, I'm probably not gonna say it right, but he said something along the lines of, through the day to day, you can forget who you are, and you can forget your sort of mindset that you're supposed to be on. But then when you catch yourself in that, you got to rebuke even the forgetting of who you are. And that you really got to just like the way that you would rebuke a sickness, or the way you rebuke a thought that doesn't come from God. Rebuke the forgetting that you're in the presence of God. That's what I got from the statement that he said. And, rebuke not being in that constant partaking of the bread and the blood.
Amen. That's
You can write
brand
that
new.
down if you want to.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate
Yeah.
it.
Amen. I was thinking too that the blood is created in the marrow,
Yes, it is.
And I was thinking about this family that we knew. This woman had adopted two or three babies that were supposed to have come from the same woman, although she never met the woman. And this woman was a strong Christian, and she raised these babies up. They were probably the only mother that they remembered, she raised these babies up. But when they went through puberty, they started manifesting some pretty bad demons. And she was just wondering, how in the world could this possibly happen? I mean, I raised them as Christians and taught them the Word of God and so on and so forth. You know, she got very curious, and she went to the place where she thought she could find out who the parents were, but they, of course, don't want you to know who the parents are in some cases, and they didn't in that one there. But somebody turned their back. And she went in and looked at some files. They let her do that, but they officially couldn't do it, you know. She looked some files and she found out who the mother was. And she went and looked and saw and talked with the mother, and the mother had the same attributes, the exact same attributes. Even though these babies were raised up in a Christian home, the blood was taking authority over them that came through the mother. And you know, it of course she understood that that genetic tie needed to be broken, you know, and of course partaking of the lifeblood of Jesus is the only way to really break it. You know, you can teach people and you can pray over them and you might have some temporary results, but we all have to overcome that blood of our parents. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We might have even said when we were younger, we'll never be like our parents. But you have to war with that the whole time, you know. You end up saying and doing things that your parents said and did because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The only way to break that is through the blood of the Lamb and through the Word of God, you know. The Word of God, of course, is the flesh, and He was the Word made flesh, and we have to be the Word made flesh too. And in that way, we can partake of the nature of Jesus Christ, which comes through the blood. When Jesus multiplied the water into wine, it was a translation of the water, which is the Word of God, being turned into the wine, which is the nature of Jesus Christ. So when we fill ourselves up, of course, with the water of the Word, instead of the water of the words of people around us, partaking of the beasts, in other words, you know, God can turn that into the wine, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. So she realized that, and that was, of course, the only salvation that those kids got, you know. It was just natural, even after all those years, for there to be, you know, manifesting the life and nature of the mother. So.
And the only recourse is to deliver them.
Deliverance and them too partaking of the Word made flesh. You know, and letting the Lord convert it into the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right, Teresa.
I have a testimony like that too. My youngest son married his love, and and it turned out, as they got to know each other more and more, she was extremely violent. She would imagine things, and then she would get mad over the things she imagined. And my son's good size, but she was good size too. And she would pound on him, and he wouldn't be violent towards her back. But eventually, and then they had Beau, and Beau, my grandson, and she was extremely violent and neglectful towards my grandson as a baby. And so she didn't want to take care of him, So she brought him to me to take care. Well, she and my son, they got divorced because she was so violent that, he just wasn't going to live with her. And so they made the mistake. They were young. They made the mistake of having a custody arrangement where she had Beau one day, he had Beau the next day, which was not good for Beau, but that's what they did. Well, when she had Beau, she brought him over to me to take care of. So I raised him during his toddler years and up into about 7 years old. And if I hadn't taken care of him, she would have killed him. Well, in this, as this was going on, she was violent towards me too, because she would see Beau bonding to me. And so she got physically violent with me. And so, so I began to pray, God, kill her, to save my grandson. Then I realized, okay, I want God's forgiveness. I have to extend it to her. So I started praying that God, that Jesus had covered her with his blood atonement and cleansed her and healed her. I started praying that. Well, God started changing her life. They were divorced. She continued to be, she continued to give me Beau to take care of, but God gradually started changing her life. She had been adopted, and so she wanted to know who her real mom was and could never find her. Well, she found her real mom and she met her real mom. And as she met her real mom, she found out her real mom was just like she was. So she got to the point where, she thought, well, I better not hang around her. But she said once she met her real mom, that all those feelings of rejection mostly left her, like 90% left her. And she began to receive, there were people that were going door to door spreading the gospel, and she had always refused it before. Well, she started letting them in and listening to the gospel, and she just started changing. And God started working with her and started building her back up, started building up her life. And so anyway, that's just an example of how she was manifesting the same, she realized she was manifesting the same demons her mom was. So.
So she got delivered of that.
I had a similar situation.
Go ahead, David.
I had a similar situation with my sister, Sylvia. Her husband left her with the child, Chris, and she just wasn't a disciplinarian type person, you know. She just kind of let her go, and so Chris became, pretty unmanageable. Well, it came to the place where she had to go to work, and so she would drop Chris off at our house. And me and my wife would take care of her. And she had fits to begin with, she would throw up her food and things like that. And we had to get pretty stringent with her to make her realize she couldn't get away with that in our house. She tried it a couple times, and I told her, I said, Chris, you're not going to get away with that here. If you throw that food up, you're going to eat it again.
Whoa.
And you know what? She never did that again. She
Smart girl.
realized that we would not permit that kind of craziness going on in our house, And she was a good kid. Here's the weird thing was when her mom would come to the door, it was like Jekyll and Hyde. She would switch. She immediately, on her way to the door, she was already changing. And we would tell Sylvia, this is just a disciplinary problem. If you draw the line, they'll be very happy. If you do that, they'll be a lot happier. If you do that, they'll get along with you and they'll get along with other people and so on and so forth. But she would just change. I mean, when the opportunity arised, when her mom came to the door, it was back to the old Chris, She came to our house, she was perfect. I mean, literally, she was a good kid the whole time she stayed with us. We just had to draw a line at the beginning. You can't get away with that here. You can't do that here. And we weren't belligerent. In fact, I don't even think we ever spanked her or anything like that. We just were disciplined with her, but anyway, yeah.
Amen.
A lot of kids out there, they're just rotten, and it's because nobody ever drew the lines for them,
Yep, I've seen it every day. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Dave.
That was one of the things that was kind of one of the foundational things that brought me to the Lord, is when I realized that myself. I was, I've always been, probably a quiet, kid or whatever. And my father, I suspect he was more or less like me and was not really outgoing or that sort of thing. But my dad always, he w always worked. He was like, he was always working, and there didn't seem to be a lot of, I'm going to say one-on-one interaction. I'm sure there probably was, but in my mind, there wasn't. And I was kind of left to, roam, on my own. And I think I, at some point, I said in my mind, I'm not going to be like my dad. And because he's always working, he's doesn't have time for anything else. He's always working. So I decided, it's, just got out of college or whatever, got a job, and I realized that I had this thought, or I guess inner unstated goal, to be rich before I was 20, by the time I was 25 years old, so that I wouldn't have to work like my dad. And so I got a job, and it was in the late 70s, and I realized I was working like every job that I got at getting out of college. I worked some weeks 100 hours because of this driving, even though I didn't realize it, this driving desire to get rich, And one day at work, and I was living in Houston, I was probably working 70 hours a week. It was one of them type of jobs where you could work as much as you wanted. You're always on the road or always, going. And that's when it hit me one day. I said, you're trying to be. You're trying to avoid being like your dad because he worked so long and so many hours. And what are you doing? You're working all these hours, constantly working all these hours, so that you don't have to be like him who worked all these hours. And that, believe it or not, it was that thought that hit me, and I thought, whoa. something's happening here, And it's just one of those little things that, sent me down a different path. But anyway, and I experienced the very same thing, but it was, I guess, it was God's grace that I recognized it in myself. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Teresa.
So Bo, my grandson, he turned out to be a really good kid. He wasn't any, he's not anything. He's actually a guard. You know how I protected him when he was a baby? Well, he's actually a guard now, you know, protecting. And so,
You muted yourself, Teresa.
sorry about
Yeah,
that. I thought I did.
that's okay.
Okay. So I wanted to give an update about Bo's. Bo is a really good kid. He grew up to be a really good kid. He wasn't, I pray for him. I've always prayed for my kids from the time that I've had them, you know, and so I constantly prayed for Bo because I was trying to save his life, but I prayed for all my kids.
Get your hand off your mute button.
Sorry. Can you
That's all
hear me
right.
now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We can hear you
Okay.
now.
Okay. So, what part did you not hear? So anyway, I've always prayed for my kids, and I prayed especially for Beau because I was trying to save his life. And Casey finally gave him up to his dad, and his dad moved to where his dad was. You know, my son Jesse moved to his dad and his wife's. And well, let's see, was he married at the time? I don't think his, yeah, I think he was. And so, you know, he started working with his dad and his uncle, you know, and they helped him get into a business of remodeling and framing. And so Jesse right now is, you know, an electrician that is highly sought after. There's employers that want him here and want him there, they're fighting over him. So anyway, Bo has he was able, I think, because of God's working in his behalf, he just turned out to be a really good kid. He's not violent at all. He's so even tempered, and he has a lot of wisdom. So anyway.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Teresa. All right, anyone else? Stephen, how you doing, buddy? I hadn't seen or heard of you in a long time. It's good to
Found the
see you.
unmute button. I'm doing well. I don't really have anything new. Actually, maybe you guys could pray for my mom. She's been in the hospital for the last 3 months and she's recovering. She had pneumonia originally, but now the doctors did something to try to help her and it caused problems. It's not a long story, but anyway, nothing new there, I guess. But I believe she'll recover completely and come home. And so she's just needs a little blessing from the Lord. So
All right,
maybe if
we
I
can
pray,
pray
you guys
for
all can agree with me.
him. Yes, we can.
All right. Well, Father, I just pray that you'd completely heal my mom, recover her, so that she can come home and have her full strength back, and make her younger, and that when her time is up, Father, that she'll leave peacefully, but not under the hands of any kind of medical intervention that inhibits her life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. We come against this infirmity in her, and we command it to go. And we thank you, Father, for restoring everything that the enemy tried to destroy from her. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that she's going to live and going to have a, she shall live and not die. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Stephen's mother. In Jesus' name. How old is she, Stephen?
She's 93.
Oh, okay. Praise God.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, that's the spring chicken. Amen. Absolutely. Does she get around okay?
Oh, she always has. She's always done real well. She went in, she had pneumonia. She went in, and the doctors found that she had some AFib problem with her heart. So they tried to do something to fix that. And in the process of doing that, they caused a big problem. And
Yeah.
she's recovering from that. So, yeah, stay away from the doctors and she'll do better. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stay away from the hospitals. Them things are dangerous.
Yeah.
Number one
So
killer in the US.
that's about right. Yeah.
Whew,
Well, there's an
thank you, Lord.
interesting thing that the doctor, okay, so the doctor had to put the scope down her throat and he didn't have the right size scope. He should have used a smaller scope for a child. He didn't do that, didn't have it handy. So in using the larger one, he cut her esophagus, which if it's in the lower part, you'd pretty much die. If it's in the upper part, you might be able to heal. And the doctor came to her and said, you know, he admitted he'd really messed up and it was all his fault. And he was very sorry and wanted to know if she would forgive him. And she said, I never held it against you. My mother's a strong Christian.
Praise
And so
God.
I believe that was very instrumental and reason why she's alive now, actually.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. What's her name? Uh-oh, you froze up.
So.
You got a grin on your face anyway. Praise God.
Jeanette.
Jeanette?
Here's Jeanette. Did you hear me? I mute.
No, did you say
You cut out
Jeanette?
on me. Jeanette. Jeanette, yes. Jeanette. She spells it Jeanette. Spells it
Oh,
with two
okay.
N's.
Yeah, well, I should remember that. That's my wife's name.
Yeah, I know. It might be
Yeah.
spelled different than your wife,
Just
but
one N for hers.
Most of them are one N. Yeah, that's why I said
Yeah.
she has two N's, but the
Amen. Lord, we
same,
thank
yeah,
you.
you should recognize the name.
We thank you, Lord, for bringing Jeanette home. Now she's going to live a few more years, too, in
That's
Jesus'
right.
name, in great and wonderful health. Lord, that she
That's
could
right.
give out the gospel. Thank you,
Okay,
Father. Amen. All right, Stephen, we believe it.
right.
All right, anybody else? Missy?
Well, I was thinking here, sitting here thinking about my experience with oh, I don't know how old I was, but I remember, I was probably still a teenager or whatever. And I said, I used to think to myself, if I treat my kids the way my mom treats me, I don't want to have kids. Well, guess what? I inherited stuff from my mom, and thankfully, I don't think I treated my boys as badly as my mom treated me. Especially because I came to the Lord at one point, but my mom and I, we get along good. Once in a while, she gets a little curt with me, but she's apologized. About how she treated me when I was a kid and stuff like that, and she realizes, that she. Things that she inherited, she got came from my grandmother to my great grandmother, her grandmother to her mother, and then to me. And she realized that too. She understood all that and stuff, understands all that. But yeah, so it's like sometimes you wish you could have been a bit better parent than what you were, but God's full of grace and mercy, and He receives our repentance and forgives us and helps us to overcome, gives us the grace to overcome. And I know the Lord's greatly changed me, and he's also greatly changed my mom too. And it's just awesome to see the Lord's mercy and grace at work and changing us, making us more like Jesus all the time, to overcome these things that were handed down to us, the generational curses and stuff like that, especially behavioral. Sometimes I think the behavioral stuff is worse than the, I mean, the genetic is the effect of the behavioral, it's the curse of sin, but anyway, so just thinking about that, I'm kind of impressed that my great grandmother had heart issues, and my grandmother died of congestive heart failure, and a lot in the in my great aunts and uncles had the same thing, heart conditions and stuff like that. But my mom doesn't have that, and that's so cool. It's like that curse was broken with her. And as best of my knowledge, my brother, my sister, I, none of us have any heart issues or whatever, as far as physical. So that's just it's pretty awesome. And even I think even my grandfather, my mom's dad had heart problems. But anyway, so that's cool to see that the Lord's done a work that she doesn't have any heart conditions that were passed on to her. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was just Missy actually kind of reminded me of it, but I maybe left my story half told, because once I did give my heart to the Lord, and I probably never had as much conversation with my mother and dad up to that point. But after I give my life to Jesus, I could see them even in a different light. And it's like my communication was enhanced. I would call home, once a month, and we'd have long conversations and stuff, even about the Lord. And so, I'm thinking of that scripture, in Romans 6, we were crucified with Christ, buried, died, raised, and walk in newness of life now. And it's like, our generation only goes back one generation to Jesus, So, the generational curses, at least we have the ability to annihilate them by the word of God. So, anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, Debbie, you're trying to hide, but I'm not going to allow this. The
Did you want me to say something? I have anything to share.
Michael, you're muted.
I knew that. I was trying to see if she could read my lips. Hey, I just called on you to tell us what the Lord's showing you nowadays.
Well, it actually started with Angelica and I were together, and she was watching the listening to Dutch Sense, Dutch sense and
Yeah.
sharing that with me. And so we were talking about that and feeling the real urgency of what's going on and wondering, oh gosh, when is all this going to really come down hard, you know, like the New Madrid and other all this stuff really opening up, you know. And so I mean, to the point where we were in the store and walked into Walmart, and Angelica felt like, well, I feel a real sense of, forget the word she used, Angelica, urgency or restlessness or something like that. And she asked if I felt that, and I waited a minute, and I said, yeah, I think I do feel that in the store here. So we're talking about what's about things going on, and then we went to the bank, and she got out and went to the ATM, and as she was out, I was in the car, I was praying and saying, Lord, I just don't want to be over dramatizing. I don't want any of us to be over dramatizing things. We really want to be hearing from you. And I laid my head back and I heard him say, I'm not, you're not over dramatizing. So that was awesome. And she came back in the vehicle, and I'm trying to have this, I'm trying to get a sequence of everything. So then, oh yeah, okay. We were praying in the spirit. We're praying in tongues on the way home, on the way to her place. And then she said, oh, I'm just hearing the word imminent. And I said, oh, it's supposed to be imminent, you know, and we need to be sure about this. And she asked me if I could ask the Lord, if I see or hear anything or get anything about this. And is he really saying how imminent, you know? And so I said, okay. So I got home and I got into the, I was praying. And I thought I would just ask him some questions with coins, and I felt to do that. And I, but I, nothing was turning up. So I got on the opened my words. Okay, Lord, I believe he's going to give me something from the Bible. So I opened up the word, and I had my hand still on the pages as I opened it, and just looked down, and I looked down directly on in Jeremiah 41 verse 1, where it said. How did it go? Then look it up. About 7 days. Oh, move it up. Read it exactly. Oh, just in the 7th month. I learned it right on in the 7th month. And that's in July, but we're really praying in the spirit, and we were just really feeling, oh God, we're going to just come before you and hear some things from you. So wonder what that is about. And so then I let her know, and I don't remember, Angelica, what you said next, but then she said something, but she texted me back. Just before she texted me back, I heard the Lord say, tribulation for 10 days. You should have tribulation 10 days. And I heard that just as she sent me a text that said, wow, 10 days of darkness. And I said, oh, I just received, you should have tribulation 10 days. So that's basically what was going on. And we were both kind of receiving things from the Lord. And so then everything is going on. We just, you know, praying. You know, we don't need to be praying. It could be. Looks like things are getting close.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Teresa. Is that a never mind?
I was also studying about the New Madrid today because, you know, Kansas is close to, you know, I wanted to see, you know, how far it would go. You know, would it come clear over to Kansas? And yeah, that Kansas is going to suffer some shock from that too. And so, but anyway, the point is, I was thinking about it, whereas I never think about it, and it just happened to be today. So, and
You're gonna have to get your finger off that mute button, girl.
sorry, I thought I unmuted it. Okay. So I was thinking about the New Madrid today when I never think about it. And so I started studying about it, and I was curious, well, would it go into Kansas? And the shocks from it will go into eastern Kansas, maybe into middle Kansas. And so, and here Deborah is thinking about it as well. And Michael Snyder, I follow his stuff. I get emails from his stuff. And The End of the American Dream, Michael Snyder. And he, on his post today, listed a prophecy from a friend of his, and which dealt with the New Madrid, and the sinking of the land. And so, anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, the New Madrid fault line have been real active here this last few weeks. Very active. Yeah, up and down, all the way down through to Memphis and even below there. I looked at the map yesterday, I believe it was, to see if it had been. And boy, that thing is really ramping up. Okay. Let's see. That comes up to Vanita. Hi, Vanita.
Sorry, I just left the house to go pick up Nick, so I'm
Oh,
driving and just
okay. All right, we'll let you go this time.
All right.
Okay, Angelica, go ahead.
I just wanted to quickly just I guess clarify that Debbie was referring to two different times because I had had a dream about an earthquake, and I don't know how much time we have, but I had a dream about an earthquake here in my apartment building, quite a few months ago, maybe in a year, I don't know. And the building basically broke in half, and I would look, and there's some other details, but I went to the back. There's a two like a glass sliding door, which is not what I actually have there. But I looked out and it was just this weird gray color and it was raining. And it's been like that kind of, I don't know if you guys noticed the, these are not real systems, and this is odd blue gray color. Anyway, and
Yep.
when I looked outside, there was a palm tree. And I was like, there's no palm trees in Tennessee, And that was it. And I had just been praying, over the building that I wouldn't receive. At the time, I didn't really think too much of it because nobody even lived down that apartment. Because it would be that, like, it's a four building apartment, so I'm number four on top on the right, and so it would be like number three would fall in on number one basically. And so I just prayed about that. But when the earthquake happened, I just like in the dream, it woke me up, and I knew it was an earthquake, and like that part had been fulfilled or whatever. And the rainy part and all that. So it was like, oh Lord, like the only thing left to be fulfilled is that palm tree, which to me signifies like David has said in other revelations, like a plate shift, a site, it's such a huge seismic shift, where we would re receive Hawaiian weather. And so the and then I had another dream
Jesus. Oh,
the other
God.
day, I think the day before yesterday, I don't know. But I was looking in my closet and I didn't know what I was looking for. But then it was just like this huge clap of lightning, like pow. And then all the light went out and it was like really, really dark. And I just couldn't tell if it was just like Madisonville, my neighborhood, or like be bigger. You know what I mean? Like beyond like maybe the world or whatever. And I kind of like hit my knees and I was looking for my phone flashlight or something like to like for light, And so I asked the Lord for a word about that and it landed in Isaiah 9. I think like something about, I don't know if it was verse 10 or something like that, like about the bricks falling, which I think is judgment on apostate Christianity. But before that is it's the birth of the man child. And in that scripture it talks about, the people in darkness saw great light. And I thought that was, matched the dream pretty
Yeah, that's
good.
the man child birth there.
Right. And
Yeah.
if anyone doesn't have any, I guess, revelation, if they haven't already looked at the revelations, go to our YouTube and find there's a lot of earthquake revelations that precede the birth of the man child and parallel to the Trump Red Sea, stuff like that. So you can kind of catch up.
Amen. We're getting close, folks. We're getting close. Okay, let's see. Barbara. Hey, girl. What's the Lord been showing you?
Oh, gee, well, what he's been showing me is to just stay close to him. But he had me today reading in, I was reading the study that David just did on Sunday. The time is late. And I was reading the prophecies in there, and the, I don't remember who, but the dreams and visions. I don't really know. That's just where he had me reading today, and he's
Okay.
just been showing me to stay close to him, and actually, I've been having a real good time with him. I'm just loving him and letting him love me, and I really don't know what to say. I don't mean he's not giving me any specific word, but that's it.
Well, that's a good word right there. Stay close to him. That's a gooder.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Debbie, go ahead.
Because of what Barbara just said, yesterday I was on the couch here just praying, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, "Seek ye my face." What can I say? Just, yes, Lord, your face will I seek, seek ye my face. So,
Amen.
we're for everybody, I guess. He wants us to really
Yep,
see his face.
absolutely.
And so, so I'm just wanting to do that, staying in the word,
All right.
bringing in, amen.
That's a good thing to seek ye his face, not his hand. All right, go ahead there, Chucky.
Yeah, I was already thinking kind of about similar to whatever Debbie just said there about seeking his face, and I was thinking back to what Ben was talking about, having that focus on the Lord and being in his presence, really just no matter what, always seeking to be in his presence, and it comes with that seeking his face, which brought to my mind just a moment ago, it's like the prayer we pray for one another, much like how Paul prayed, things of like receiving the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. We ought to pray for one another to stay close and to just really be fervent. I feel that we ought to be very fervent in our prayers for one another. We've seen a lot of people fall off. We've seen a lot of people faction out or give in to their sin and be destroyed, And of course, that's not saying we didn't pray for them. We didn't give our, best foot forward to warn and love them and stuff like that. But it's like, man, the enemy is so deceptive and, he's so crafty. But, greater he that is in us, greater is Christ in us than that devil. And so, I guess with that, I could just say a prayer, man. I pray, Lord,
All right.
for the burden for your body upon our heart, Lord God, that we would just labor in prayer for one another, Lord God. Like Paul said, as much as they came to his memory, he would pray, Lord God. Let us pray as much as it comes to our memory and pray good, Lord God. Pray, Lord God, for the benefit of our brethren and ourselves, Lord God, to be stirred up in the faith, Lord God, to see one another succeed, hallelujah, to see one another stand firm on the foundation of Christ in Jesus' name and not waver, hallelujah. May all of us, Lord God, have temptations that are catered specifically to us, hallelujah, because of our flesh, but you have given us life, hallelujah, and through Christ, our flesh is crucified in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father, hallelujah, that we would not be puffed up or that we would not be lifted up in sin, hallelujah, or that we would not be self-deceived, but rather be doers of the word, hallelujah, that we would exercise what you have given us with faith and with might, hallelujah, according to what you have given us in Jesus' name, that we would make our confessions and we would remember to look at Christ in the mirror in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you are doing a mighty work in this hour for your people, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are working great righteousness within your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are all, Lord God, we are all hungry, Lord God. All of us here are hungry for you, Lord God. We are hungry and you will fill us because you said you would in Jesus' name, Lord God. So I thank you, Father, for the great work coming to pass. I thank you, Lord God, for that manifestation of the Son of God coming forth out of us in this world now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. And I thank you, Father, that you are going to complete the good work you started in every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for placing it in us to do the battles. Glory to God. All right, go ahead, Teresa.
And today, God also gave me Psalm 27, 1 to 1 to 8. And 8 says, when you said, seek you my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. So just what Debbie said, I got the same thing, Psalm 27, from 1 to 8.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. Who we got left here? Terry, would you like to tell us what the Lord is showing you? Might have caught her off guard. Okay. There she is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. God has been telling me that I need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And he has been telling me he's with me and just to stand. And he's given me courage and wisdom to talk to my parents, and 'cause we have not had a good relationship. And I was sticking up for my sister because my mom had been really mean to her, and we were both really just basically completely ignored growing up. And if there was attention, it was criticism, and there was no smiling or saying I love you or hugging or anything like that. And so I'm 61, my mom's 84, and I finally stuck up for my sister and said something, and my mom actually apologized to her, which that is just a huge thing. And my sister's heart was softened toward her. And so we're talking now, and I just want prayers for my whole family because none of them really trust in the Lord at all. My sons have completely fallen away, but I know that they are saved because of family salvation, which I completely believe, and I'm so grateful that I know that I know God's promises. And he has been with me through all of these trials I've been through lately, which have been quite a bit with my husband dying. And he has just been so gracious to me. And I thank you all for all the prayers, and praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up Terry and her family to you. Lord, we thank you for placing love in all of their hearts. And we praise you, Father, because your peace is better than anything they've ever seen. And Lord, we thank you that when they come to you, because we know they are, that they will have the peace that you've given them in Jesus' name. And they're all going to get along just lovely. And we thank you for that, Father, that it's going to happen shortly. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Ooh, I believe it, Terry.
I do too. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm sorry. We got a couple left here. We can grab them next time. Amen. Lord, we thank you for an awesome time tonight. We thank you, Father, for the changes of the people out there that was listening to in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we glorify you for the work that you're doing in us, that it is coming to completion here shortly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We got a long row ahead, but it's going to be a good one. Praise God. We're going to get to see this revival going. And glory to God, we're going to see a lot of people coming in. In Jesus' name. Lord, be with all my brothers and sisters as they leave us tonight. We thank you, Father, that they're going to be guided by your Spirit. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Good night, y'all.
Good to see you and hear you, folks, saints. Bless you.
Amen.